Hey, I'm Jonathan, and this is how I became a fiber optics system integrator.
Welcome back to the Story Points Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Today, we're starting a new series called How I Became. In the next couple episodes, we're going to have various guests on the show. We're going to talk through their career paths, how they became what they are, where they're going. And today we have our first guest, Jonathan, who you might remember from episode 8 and episode 10. So, Jonathan.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? Glad to be back.
Yeah.
Glad for having me.
Yeah. This is first episode, you know.
I'm honored. I'm honored. Cheers, man. Happy to be here with
Cheers.
You.
Cheers. Throw it down.
Yeah. Throw it down.
Blow it up. So yeah, let's jump right in.
What do I got?
I mean that's why we're here. So you know what's your kind of title? What do you do?
That's a great question, Joe. here's where I forget everything. I'm a fiber optics system integrator, and essentially
it's quite the title, by the way.
Yeah, essentially I install systems for broadcast that mainly use fiber optics. I mean, it involves a lot more than just fiber. There's a lot of the Ethernet, cat cable, video, audio, wiring, but my specialty is in fiber. It's become fiber in the last couple of years.
So when you say broadcasts,
yeah,
what kind of broadcasts are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. So I work for NBC. So it's broadcasting, you know, they're big. They do news,
TV shows.
TV, yeah. Stuff you see on TV. I mean, now they've been doing for a few years now, their streaming service. But it's in that respect because fiber, as maybe our audience, I'm sure you've heard, like there's Verizon Fios and they use the same.
The original fiber.
The original fiber. They use this pretty much the same stuff. I mean, it's a whole industry. So, but they're, the way they use it is different because they're just trying to bring internet to your home.
Gotcha.
We're using it to facilitate different needs throughout the building.
I know you've told me this in the past, like you're building studios, you're building all kinds of things for NBC, right? Like how does all of that work? How does it come to be, I guess, is the question.
I mean, that's kind of a big package to unfold, for sure.
Oh, you don't have to go into too many industry details.
I guess to break it down small is that there's different groups within the field. So we work in the bracket of operations there. And I work out of the integration shop. And integration is just basically installing the physical systems, the equipment, the wiring. So people will design it. There's a team of engineers that create it. And above them, there's like the managers, the leadership, they're like, oh, well, we need this or we want to make this project. We want the studio built at this time. Like, how do we do that? The engineers get involved and they find a way to tie it into the infrastructure that's already there, or they'll build new infrastructure and then they'll hand us like basically the blueprints for it and we'll create it.
That's honestly, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So and then it's a lot of stuff. Like you said, we've done studios, just equipment rooms. Like if you picture data centers, it's like we kind of have a similar setup, but it's not as like, you know, data centers, just like server after server, like storage devices. Like it's kind of the same things repeating. Like we have a lot of equipment that will process like video and audio and stuff like that. And you can send signals through different control rooms, all different types of communications equipment really is what it is. So it's kind of a mixture of everything.
And you're just wiring all that
up all day.
Looking at this diagram, and you're like, all right, this Ethernet cable goes from this switch.
Yeah,
this
so we'll get like we'll get like a wire list is what they call it from the engineers, or cable schedule, and it'll just be like a giant Excel sheet of like two locations and the types of cable that they need built, and you'll have to take that, go to the field, like look at it in person. You get a length, you'll build it depending on the type of cable.
Oh wow! So it goes into pretty detail.
Yeah, definitely. And then,
by the way, an Excel sheet. What?
Yeah, it's like an Excel program.
Okay.
That they make this thing in. I think it's like a document that they've had for years. They just kind of use the same format and put their own information in it.
Gotcha. But I'm just thinking, like, for me, an Excel sheet to like do something like that just seems so janky. not to bash on it or anything like that.
I'll have to show you one sometimes. You can see like the whole layout. Like they, yeah. I mean, it looks nice. Like they have a whole header and everything, and it gives you all the information that you need as like the technician to go.
Gotcha.
Create it basically, and then we'll also get what they call elevations, which are essentially the diagrams of the rack layout. So it's like you know exactly where, in a rack, exactly where a piece of equipment will go. Like it'll show you the exact space that it should fit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So engineers are designing all this stuff, and you're just
they design it, and we just make it happen. They'll like order a lot of the stuff, the equipment. Like we'll receive the shipments, unbox everything, basically build it. And when we do a lot of stuff from the ground up, like we'll if they're doing a brand new equipment room, we'll install the racks in the room, like really everything.
Oh, yeah.
So everything like except for construction. Okay. Once construction comes in and builds the room and they put in the computer flooring, we pretty much take it from there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. So how does one get into the field of fiber optic? What was it? Integrated technician?
System integration.
There you go.
Yeah. So system integration is pretty much everywhere. Every building, every company, for the most part, they don't have their own system integration team. They'll usually like hire an outside contractor to do this work for them.
Okay.
Because you figure any office, you have your cat wiring, your switches.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking my office, right? We have like a rack with a bunch of switches.
There's always a server room. There's the cable comes into the building somewhere.
And then everybody's desk kind of has the
everyone's
drops.
Everyone's desk has the drops. Yeah. So a lot of places will hire contractors. And they'll come in and they'll do the work for you. This specific building in it at NBC, they just change things so frequently, and they have such a big building that they've like for years they've had their own team of integrators.
Right.
That they've just like it's just become part of the way they do things. Like there's always someone on staff. They don't have to worry about contractors. And like we do actually sometimes have contractors come in and they'll do like
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause sometimes we have too much work. Oh. And like we actually can't do it all because there's not enough of us. So they'll bring another company in, and they've done it before, and they brought a company in. I'm not going to say any names, but they really messed up one of the equipment rooms. Uh-oh. To the point where they were like, all right, you guys are done. And we're taking over from here. Like they put in like the basic infrastructure, which to this day, I don't know what anything even does that they did, because their labels are all like, you know, every cable gets labeled. So you know, if you have to go back.
It's funny that you say that, because I feel like in our earlier episodes, we had a segment where we talked about how like contractors never do things the way you want them to be done. And this is like just expanding out into other industries where it's like, hey, bring in these contractors, and they kind of just like did a bunch of stuff, and then they got the hell out of there.
They're out, and it's like, now and I can only imagine like how much they were paid for that contract, like to build a whole equipment room. Like that was probably a pretty hefty bill.
Yeah,
and then they like really fumbled, and it was like, well, we have to now pick up the pieces of what they built and add into it,
just create
make
more
it our
work
own.
For you.
Yeah, so
sounds so familiar.
It was one of those things that they should have let us have from the beginning, but this was going back years ago, but it was like at that time we had a bunch of other projects. They were like, all right, let's try them, bring them in. They've done like little stuff here and there on other floors of the building, and so like it's not like they always do a bad job. Like I've met some of the people that work for the company, like they're good. It's just like that specific job, I don't know what happened.
yeah. So how did you actually get into it, though?
Yeah, so that's a good story. I initially had nothing to do with this field when I started. I was working for the Apple store and going to college. Okay. It was like part-time job. And my father works as an engineer in this building. He's been doing it for over 30 years now.
Oh, wow.
So this was the summer of 2013. And they just needed, like, that shop literally just needed people to do pretty much manual labor.
Just need bodies.
Basically
bodies.
Basically, they just needed bodies. Like, they were trying to take
Can you walk this cable from one side of the room to the other
side? Kind of, yeah. They were taking on, like, two different studio builds. They were doing different equipment rooms, like, upgrading a lot of the infrastructure. They needed people to do just menial tasks. So my dad was like, hey, if you're interested, you can come kind of like an internship. They're just looking for people for the summer to come and work in the integration shop.
Nice, okay.
And I didn't know much about it. Like, I used to go, I've been to the building a few times. He'd show me what he did. And and to kind of walk around and see the place, but I didn't really have like a concrete idea of anything going on there.
Yep.
So I started that summer, and I was actually still doing Apple. Like my deal with them was I had to come in, I think it was like one or two weekends a month.
With Apple or?
Yeah, to keep the job. Cause oh, okay. I told them I was coming back. Like it was the summer, I was still doing school. So they were like, you know, you can keep your job here and come back. Cause I told them it was basically an internship, which it pretty much was at that time.
Works out pretty good.
So I basically left. I started working with them, and for the first like month and a half, I was just unboxing stuff. Like I remember I was working in this one equipment room that, like, now I know it like the back of my hand, but it's so big. It's like almost the entire floor of that building. Oh, and wow. Yeah, it's huge. It was like one of their main
just
rooms.
Just filled with boxes of servers.
Well, not the whole equipment room wasn't full of boxes. This one part I was working in, it was like basically a row of racks. And it was totally packed. Like, just there's these things called jack fields, and it's just a piece of equipment that it doesn't have any electricity or anything in it, but you can basically hook a video cable up to it, and then you can patch into it. So like, if you ever see like those rooms, you just like patch cords from here to there. Like, so say you want to move a signal, like it connects to a jack field from like, oh, this studio. All right, let's bring it to this control room. Gotcha. Like they can cross patch it.
I'm thinking of like these old like telephone rooms.
It's kind of like that, but this is with video signal. Okay. And then it's also a way where you can set them up. Like it has like a kind of like an input output. So it's like one cable will come in here, and then you can also have another output on the same. I don't know if it's like circuit or what it would actually be called, but but you can basically like use it as a point to connect something else to, and then you can also patch into it. So these they would go through like thousands of these. Like they'd install so many all over, so they just ordered a huge shipment, and they're like, it's in the way, it's fire hazard, we just need someone to unbox it. And like it literally took me like a month. Like I was taking them, unboxing them, and like,
this is why he carries a knife around.
Yeah, the box is like, you know, it's like probably like this big, like, you know, this wide. So it's like I'd have to like load a few on a cart, and like someone would have to let me out to the garbage, bring me back into the room. I didn't have access to the room at that time. So like I started doing very like menial stuff.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, first internship. Like,
yeah,
that's
exactly
what you expect.
And I was totally fine doing it, because I'm like, this is so much better than like working in retail. Like,
yeah,
just like I didn't have to deal with
customers
all day. Yeah. It was like, I just do my job. No one leaves me alone. Union job too, so it's like I get like not like breaks and everything, so I was like, oh, this is great, like just do my thing, whatever. But that's pretty much how I got started. And then I after doing that for a while, like I would get put on different cable pulls where like, okay, we got to like run this cable from, you know, location A to B, just like you start learning the basics. That's why, like, actually the episode you guys just did about mentorship, like a lot of that kind of resonated with me, because I've worked with a lot of people that have become like mentors, even if like you just work with them maybe for a month, like you pulled something from their knowledge base, you know, or something that they taught you.
Especially like with the union, right? A lot of those guys have been around for
for a
30
long
years.
Time.
Like you said, your dad was there for
he was there for a while. So. And then, I mean, I'll get into this more too as we go, but like, the mentor that I personally met that kind of taught me a lot of the fiber work, but before we get there, so I was just kind of doing these just menial jobs. And then the main big job we had was building the, current Fallon studio.
Okay.
So I was part of the crew that did that build. And that's where I kind of learned a lot more about like handling wires and like how to coil cable properly and stuff like that. So like, just being a competent worker. And like at that time, they hired a lot of people who were just like
to work
didn't
on
know
that
anything
studio or just
yes on the studio, but also other jobs. But they just like I said, they needed labor. Like they needed people to just pull cable. Like you do the same cable run like all day.
Yeah.
Like you'd have to run like hundreds of audio cables from like one side to the other side. It was like you rinse and repeat, you know. So it was like, it was a lot. Like it's grueling work, but they wanted like younger guys, like people that didn't care. not didn't care, but, no, like, but newer, it makes sense. Like they could learn you something.
Know.
So
you're there, you're around, yeah. you know, people who know what they're doing. So you
yeah, so they would have like the senior guys kind of running the crew, and then there'd kind of be like moderately senior guys that like also knew what they were doing. But then there was a bunch of us like the greenhorns, like, and there was a few other younger guys that started with me. Like we were all in our 20s, like, and that younger age group were like we're really new to the thing. The whole field.
So now, like, would you consider yourself one of those guys who's like, still doing the grunt work, or are you kind of directing almost?
I think I'm getting closer to that kind of director. Like, there's days where I do grunt work. Like, it's part of being in that shop. Like, yeah. sometimes you have to help with like bullshit jobs or like jobs you don't want to do.
Well, there's always gonna be stuff that needs.
There's always
done
stuff. We always have decommissioning. Like, got to take stuff apart. It's just like I'm usually last on the roster. For that stuff, and that's because of how much of the fiber I do in that building is that like they'd rather put me on a job like that until it's like, oh, today's slow, like, all right, go help these guys move yeah. these bins around or do that. Like, it does happen, just not as often anymore.
And stuff
yeah
like that too.
And that's kind of good because it's like a break, so it's like you'll see the guys that are complaining like, oh, like we're just doing all this manual labor, like, oh, we're just all we do is pull cable like all day.
Sometimes
like,
it's nice though.
Like, it's nice. It's like a nice break from dealing with fiber. And fiber also is very delicate. So like you have yeah. to work, like as they say, with glass fingers. Like you've got to kind of treat
well,
it.
I mean,
very
that's
delicately.
What it is, right? Fiber is just like a tube of glass.
Glass, yeah. So you have to deal delicately, even if you're pulling fiber cable, which is actually armored. I mean, you can get a lot of different setups. You can have actual like the BX armor that like electrical wire comes in, but in there's always like Kevlar. The thing's yeah. protected, but you can still break it. So like when I do a job that's not so like delicate, it's like, oh, I don't have to like
yeah, you're like relaxed about, like, a little bit, right?
But yeah, I think I've kind of moved out of that. I definitely moved out of that, nice. Like being like a junior tech in a way. Yeah.
And honestly, so. Like going back to what you said before, like. Building the studio for Fallon, like that's
it was
gotta
cool.
be very.
It was cool.
Like especially because like, that's used what I don't know, like
every day pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, and during the build, we actually me and a couple of guys ran into him in the elevator. He was coming
really?
In. We're like, oh, one of the guys was like, oh, we're building your new studio, and he's like, oh, thank you. He was very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Cool. But you get to see that. I've done a lot of work on the Today Show there, like their studio.
Okay.
That's another one I spent a lot of time in. The news. That's where they just do news.
Just constantly updating the studios.
And yeah, they did. Like they did like a refresh last summer. They're changing the equipment room. They cut it down quite a bit. Like they still haven't done the construction, but they're trying to move systems to like an IP setup. So gotcha. They're getting away from like the copper cabling, like just the. I think like from the business standpoint, it's space, you know, so they can really kind of fine tune it, make things a lot smaller because the way the equipment is now, it's like fiber just takes on so much more data.
Oh yeah.
And they can really eliminate a lot of rack space and turn that over to usable space for their studio or whatever they want to do with the building. It's just kind of like the natural way
yeah,
things
I mean,
are going.
And New York real estate, you know.
Yeah. So. They're always kind of working on that. It's definitely a company that they want to always improve. So they're always trying to upgrade.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what about like other people who you work with in the union? Is this kind of what they wanted to do when they were coming out of school? Like how did they, like what were their plans? Because I feel like you can't go to school and be like, oh, I'm going to, you know,
so
be a fiber.
That's a good question because I like to think of the shop I work in almost as like the land of misfit toys. and not to like down talk because it is a good job. Like
yeah.
everyone does pretty well. Like I do enjoy my job, but a lot of the people I've met are very talented in like different fields or areas of their life. And they're just kind of like ended up there. It's almost like some of us joke it's like an area of wasted talent. Like some people
well like so that's what I'm thinking too right it's like all
yeah.
these people had aspirations of
yeah
like,
I,
other things so it was
the,
it like,
I guess just didn't pan out or you know maybe like the money was good so they stayed like
yeah.
like it is a steady job that the nice thing too is like this work is everywhere you're pretty much like when you're in this building you're in the building like you're not working outside in a telephone pole
yeah.
or you know like you're
yeah, nice air conditioned
everything's air conditioned like you're coming to the same place I mean it can be like you know, rugged and you don't always have like your spot in the shop because there's so many people you work with, but you can kind of make a home out of it. And a lot of my coworkers who are more seasoned, they've worked all over the country. You know, if they've done like basketball stadiums, like football stadiums.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like people, there's people that have worked at like Madison Square Garden, like, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, where's the Ranger
like,
ticket hookup?
They have, like I said, they have the integration. It's everywhere. People have gone out and built data centers. A lot of guys left actually for a while to work for MLB.
Apparently for, their streaming service?
They were building like data centers for that. But I guess like they had, cool. Yeah, they had like really good contracts. One of the guys I worked with was, he was like managing jobs for them. And he was saying it paid like crazy money. It's just like being so far away. I think he had to go to the Midwest for a while. It's just
where
like,
the data centers
can,
are.
It's like you can only
space.
Do it for so long before you're like, all right, I'm out. So it's like you'll take a contract for like however many months a job should take. And those are hard too, because like, even though in my shop we were daily hires, I think as we talked about in culture, everyone there knows each other. Like we're kind of at a point where it's like the same guys keep coming back. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can trust the people you work with here, where like when you're on a road job like that, it's like you're meeting newer people.
Yeah, you don't know who to trust.
You're also meeting guys that like however they got in, like they knew a guy. Like that's what a lot of the industry is. It's like somebody knows somebody, so they're here.
I mean, that's how you got in. Almost,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's like most of the people I know, that's how they got in. Like no one went to school for system integration.
Yeah.
It's a weird field where like even.
I mean, that's how a lot of fields are, though. It's just like you don't think of specific, it and then somebody's like, hey, do this thing.
Yeah. You want to try this, or like, you know, maybe some guys have like backgrounds in like electrical work. Everyone kind of contributes something for sure that they each have their own expertise in. I don't think anyone set out like, I'm going to be a wireman. Like I'm going to do this. Like they kind of stumble upon it. And it's like, you either like it or you don't like it. A lot of the job is what you make of it. Like there's good days, there's bad days. We have some of our employees that are like very disgruntled. They hate the place. And it's like, why not just leave? But it's like, well, the money, like they're not going to leave because they need a paycheck. And then other guys that
there's
actually
enjoy the
work.
There's a lot worse jobs out there. So
plenty. But that's the thing is like, you get comfortable again. Yeah. Like I said, like you're coming to a building, you're inside. You know, when I moved to my apartment, the Verizon guy came over and I was talking to him a bit. He's like, yeah, I got to go like two streets over and climb a pole to patch your fiber. And I'm like, wow, that sucks. Like, I didn't tell him what I do for a living, but I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. Thank God I don't do
the
that.
Worst thing I'll have to do is take an elevator to another floor and like go into a data room. Like, boom.
Yeah. And then you're even complaining about that. You're like, oh, I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to
go upstairs. I got to go upstairs. God. Yeah. So
that's funny.
Yeah. It definitely could be worse. Yeah.
So like flipping it back onto you, maybe like, you know, this wasn't your kind of end goal.
Yeah.
Right? So what was your end goal and kind of, what are you thinking for next steps, I guess, in your career?
Yeah. So initially I was going to college for what they called new media. And it was kind of like programming, kind of like what you guys talk about on Story Points. I was doing that, like the JavaScript, like building websites and all that stuff. And I was trying to get into that. What's that?
And you said, screw this, I'm out.
No. I was more interested in the Photoshop, like the kind of graphic design element of it.
Yep.
In the program I was in, I didn't pass. It was like a mid kind of term project you had to do to get to the next level of new media.
Okay. So, as part of the program?
Yeah. So I submitted my portfolio basically. Okay. And I think I failed it by like a couple points. And they were like, oh, like
it's the worst.
Sorry, but like you have to wait a year to do this. I'm like, I can't do it next semester. Like, no, because we only offer it in the fall. I was like, wow. So they're like, you can switch into communications and like transfer credits and still graduate like within the next year. So I think at that time it was like a year and a half I had left.
Okay.
I would have added like two more years or so. So I did that. I started going to these communication, like it was kind of like a lot of the same similar classes, but it turned into like more of like a BS, like you know, it wasn't as intense with any of that. But I was kind of like around that time I started working at this job. So I was just like, well, this is like the most intriguing thing I'm doing. I'm learning stuff every day. Yep. I like working with my hands. I think that's also what kept me in this, is that like I really do enjoy that.
Yeah, I think knowing
and,
you,
and I like, you know me, like sure. I work on the cars and stuff. Like that was always a hobby for me. I just like doing things with my hands. I always had fun doing this job.
Exactly.
And actually, fun fact too, when I came back from that summer where I was just gonna work for the summer at MB Single back to Apple.
Yep.
I actually came back to Apple for like 2 weeks and I was like, ah, oh man, like that job was great. Like, I really want to get back. Like, I actually enjoyed going to work every day. So I called up the supervisor and he's like, hey, I'll gladly take you back, but I need you here full time. And I was going back into school. Like, I think I had like two classes that were like daytime.
Okay.
I literally dropped them. And
really?
All night classes. Yeah.
So okay. You did night
classes. Yeah. So I went to work and then went to school after.
That's got to be rough.
It sucked. Yeah, it sucked. But I feel like back then I had a lot more energy than now. Like, I couldn't imagine.
Back
like
in the old days.
Back in my 20s. But yeah, now I feel like that'd be kind of hard.
When I was your age.
And like, what I'll do now is it's more intense. Like, I'm dealing more with like their on-air systems now too. Like, back then it was still like, I was learning. I was doing like little jobs here and there. I was never really in charge of anything. So like nothing really ever rested on my shoulder.
It wasn't as intense. Like, you didn't have as much responsibility.
Yeah, I didn't have as much responsibility. But yeah, so I mean, I did end up graduating, but yeah, that's kind of what kept me in that field. So I didn't initially seek it out. It kind of like fell into my lap almost, mm-hmm. and I just kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it. Like, I...
No, for sure. Like, that's most people's careers, I feel like. They fall into something that they didn't
usually
expect.
It's like something happens and then you kind of try and make the best of it. Yeah. And
I mean, that's one of the things too, right? Like, everybody says you never, like, whatever you go to school for is never what you end up doing kind of
thing. I don't really know many people that do what they went to school for.
Yeah.
I mean, the exception of you guys. I mean, but that's, you know, and maybe it's not the exact same thing that you went to school for. You can feel the change.
I'm just a nurse.
Yeah, as far as the future, I think the thing is, I do really enjoy doing fiber optics. And there's days where it's like, wow, this like sucks what I'm doing, but it's like, it's project depending. Like, if I get a good project, it's a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah.
So for the future, maybe it's like I can kind of try and segue into like an engineering type, kind of like what my father does, like system design.
Designing the studio.
Which like now I kind of have seen how it gets built. Like, maybe if I get trained to like how to actually create that.
Well, also, like, once you're kind of on the floor and you're building stuff, you have that in mind, right?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, these are the things that are going to be a problem while you're designing it.
Yeah. So, and that happens a lot. Like, we run into issues that the engineers, like, they're not physically doing the work, so they don't really know. Like, to them it looks good on paper, but it's like you try and do it and you're like, oh, well, this happened.
But once you're down into the
and now it's like I've seen a lot of the problems, it's like I might have a better insight of like what to avoid.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like you would have a good advantage.
Yeah.
If you were designing, like, with that experience. So.
And that's kind of been a discussion, like, in our shop. Like, a lot of the guys are like, wow, if they, like, kind of gave us chances to elevate, like, we've seen it from this level that a lot of them haven't. And they've brought people, like, out of college that they're doing good, but, like, it's a rough transition for them because they're also thrust into engineering, a field that you can't study for.
Yeah. I mean, it's all experiential, right?
It is. Like, and even like in the case with my dad, like, he's had an electrical background.
Yeah.
And Air Force, he worked on communication systems, but there was no school for what he did. Like, he kind of, again, like, he knew someone. They were like, hey, come on board and like you start working as engineering here, and like, you start with little projects, and he's just learned it. So there's no real school. Like, no one in that business went to school for this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't learn that. You don't know, like, coming out of school, you're like, oh, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a weird industry. It's niche. I know there's a lot of like, not a lot. There's like a few companies that really do the integration, like, across the U.S. And like, a lot of people are connected. So like, sometimes when there's layoffs, guys will like call up someone and they'll go work for them for a few months or until they get back, like the call back. So
almost take like contract work.
Yeah. So a lot of that like goes on.
Do you have advice for people who kind of want to get into this field or any sort of recommendations around that? I think
as far as getting in, it's hard for me to answer that because I was one of those people that it kind of like just kind of came to me.
Right.
I think I'm sure it's maybe not hard to transition into this because actually, like, I have met people who were doing electrical work, like working as electricians, and like they kind of segued in. I think if you were working any type of trade work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like. If you're in the trade, if you're in the unions already, that would, it's an easy transition.
Yeah, that would probably give you a big lead on that, like on getting in. Just like working with your hands and learning trade, because we do a lot of jobs that are like on construction sites. So there's kind of that cross between like you see what someone else is doing and like you'll talk to these people about what they do. So, yeah, that's. That's probably the best advice I could give.
Yeah.
And then if you get an opportunity to get in, you know, just.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just work at it. Give it your best shot. Use your brain.
Run with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, before we sort of wrap up here, I would say if you weren't, you know, in this industry, what do you think that you would be doing?
I've thought about that before. And that's a really good question. I have. Really, no idea. I feel like I probably would have found some way
running
back
a car
to
wash or something. Nah.
Yeah, squeaks. I might be running squeaks or I don't know. I feel like I probably would have segued back to something with like the programming or graphic design. Like I think because I didn't necessarily at that time. I never thought I was going to give up on that.
Yeah.
So I probably would have just found a way
to
stick
with
that.
It was like everything was sort of going towards
sitting
at a desk in front of a computer type deal.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I was still like doing that stuff actively. So it's like, I never really thought I would switch. I think this opportunity kind of came up for me and I was like, wow, I actually really enjoy this.
Yeah.
And then ran with it. And then when I started learning fiber, that's kind of when things take off. I mean, just to kind of briefly, I know we're kind of running on time, but I was put on a project. They were basically trying to redo the old infrastructure that went over to their Today Show and put in a fiber line.
Okay.
So that was like
side by side, set up the new stuff with the old stuff.
They had to like cut it over, kind of like slowly. They were like taking things down and running it on this new network. But it was a big job because they were actually carving part of the building out. And reconstructing it. They wanted to build like, if you go into the building now, they have the grand staircase. It's where they like load all their shows and tours when they still had tours like pre-COVID. They built this like whole thing in the mezzanine of the building, but they had to demolish what was there. And a lot of that was cabling that actually ran the control room and equipment room.
Like underneath the grand staircase?
It went like through the center of the building down to the basement and then across. So in order to do this, they had to chop the cables that ran through this whole part of their building. Yeah. So
just cut the back
to do that project. It was like, I think they might have shut the studio down. I mean, this was going back years ago. So I think they probably aired it out of a different control room. And then like they'll have like times where they're just off and they'll do like cutovers. But yeah, so that was like my kind of introduction to it, and that's where I started working with it,
and just, you know, threw you into the fire,
threw me into the fire.
Yeah, we're gonna shut this down.
The guy that was leading the crew, he was like, he was very, very smart guy. He used to work in aerospace, and he just took everything so seriously. Like, he was probably one of the most intimidating.
I mean, honestly, though, it's probably good because you need somebody who's like very on top
the job,
of things.
The job we built is like probably one of the finest installations in that building. It's just like a lot of stuff since it's broadcast is first, like shows come first. It's like the work he did is the work you'd want to see like on an airplane or like at NASA. Like, he took
pull off
time.
A panel
like,
and you see all the wiring is.
Everything was done to spec with this guy, but he was a very good mentor for me. And like kind of to touch on the show, like I think Roger pointed out, like sometimes the hard mentors are the best. I learned the most from him.
Yeah.
And I hated him for a long time. I hated him.
But that's how you knew
he was so
doing
mean
a good
to me.
Job.
And then like somewhere along the line cracked. And he was like, he somehow like kind of had that respect. Like, oh, he can learn. Like he's doing a good job. And like our relationship changed at that point. But he did teach me a lot during that time period.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so like that's the great thing about. Oh, hello, Skylar. That's the great thing about mentors, right? Is like you think they're hard asses and then it clicks in your head, right?
Yeah.
And like, all of a sudden, like
maybe this is for a reason.
Yeah. And then you start thinking that way. And now you're eventually going to be a mentor for somebody else
because
you're carrying on that kind of mentality.
And that kind of happens now. Like there's a couple people that we're trying to bring into doing some of the fiber work, and like I'll end up taking them with me and like showing them stuff that I know. So it's
come
like
on, guys,
that's why when I was listening to your podcast, I was listening to it at work, I'm like, oh my God, I think this is like happening in my in my life right now.
Oh, that's how you know it's a good episode.
Yeah.
Resonates. So
definitely.
All right. Well, I think that's probably all we have for today.
All right.
Yeah. But thanks for being the first guest.
Honored.
You know, our new series, How I Became, the impossible name to remember.
How I Became.
But thanks for listening. Story Points Podcast. You know, we're on all the platforms. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
We're on all podcasts. Any platform you
catch us on YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. That's what Roger does. All that fun stuff.
Yeah, all that fun stuff. Yeah.
Stay tuned for the next episode. We'll have, I don't know who our next guest is going to be, but it'll be good.